The following program may contain material that is unsuitable for some audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Aftermath Radio should not be considered a substitute for services provided by a licensed mental health professional. Good afternoon and welcome to Aftermath Radio, brought to you live from the K Beach radio station at Cal State Long Beach.
Can I talk now?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, it's very good. Very good, G. It's smooth.
Hey, welcome. Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. Is the room monitor on? Because, you know, we don't want that funky sound. We get the podcast going, right?
It says it's on mute, so
okay. I'm exceptionally loud today. I mean, I like it. I like hearing my voice. No,
clearly.
Keep it that way. Turn it up, in fact. I'm sure the listeners at home want it even louder.
I'm sure.
If you would like to speak with us, please do call us at area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. By the way, I'm manning the email today, so you two can just, you know, relax.
Sit pretty.
Yes. And as always, we encourage you to check out our website at aftermath.radio. In the lower left-hand corner, click on the Aftermath Radio link, and you can have access to all of our podcasts to listen to at your leisure. And Chantal Fahmy had a question before we went on the air. Chantal, would you like to relate that question
to the listeners?
Yes.
So I wasn't here last week. I was in New York visiting my brother for Thanksgiving. And I came back, excited to listen to the podcast.
And what happened?
Wondering what I missed.
Uh-huh.
And I think it said, podcast will be uploaded shortly, or what did it say?
I think it said, stay tuned for podcast, right?
Stay tuned for podcast, ..
Well, that's a two-part answer to that very well-articulated question. Part A would be, you know, Chantal, you don't have to come back to California to listen to Aftermath Radio. You can always listen to it online at aftermathradio.org. Click on the link in the lower left-hand corner. And there you go. And part B is I was sort of lazy.
Yeah. I went. Okay. Now Gigi's going to throw her 2 cents into this.
Okay. 2 cents and then I'll finish my part B.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait. Go finish your part B first.
Okay. Finishing of part B is it's up now.
I did get it up right before the show.
Right.
Oh.
It was a good show. Last week, November 21st, we talked about the post ASC wrap up live from Ted Bundy's car.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, it's up there. Okay, go ahead,
Jean. All right, great.
My 2 cents were that I drove here specifically on Tuesday to
She's
get you your podcast.
She's a commuter.
Yeah, I'm a
commuter. She doesn't live 2 minutes away.
You took one for the team, didn't
I
you?
I did.
We really
one
do appreciate
for the
that.
Team.
All right, it's up there. It's one of our better ones. And actually, I saw the pictures of us at Ted Bundy's car.
Some good-looking individuals.
Yeah.
I wish people could see us.
Leads me to the next, actually, what may be our next topic. I don't know. By the way, as of noon today, I had absolutely no content for the first half of the show.
You're not supposed to say that on my
But it will be more than made up with the second half, which we're going to have Dr. Jill Rickey on, talking about consequences for leaving the psychopath, stalking, lying, and manipulation. This is sort of part two of her talk. Being prepared. So I'm really looking forward to that. But as of noon today, wow, it was this enormous void.
But see, we get it together like every
But it's slowly, slowly coming together. Yeah. And were you going to say something?
I don't remember.
Okay. My next point. Because
right.
You alluded to the fact that, wow, maybe people would like to see these pictures.
Right.
And so that made me wonder about what's the status of our website.
Oh, really?
You tell us.
Really?
Are you guys still waiting on me?
Yes.
Okay, you're right.
We even have our pictures done. Remember our little photo session?
And the hang up is, what are my favorite movies? Is that what we're waiting
you
on?
We're looking for some clever last bit of information.
That's right. Okay, so for the website, the template asks us for favorite movies and food. And I said, hey, let's be clever. And not just give them the stock answers.
Well, those are our questions.
Any suggestions from our listeners, maybe?
Of what my favorite movies are?
No, of a third category.
Aside from the boring bios, we wanted to ask some random interesting questions.
Ah,
so
got it.
Really
and I said,
us.
And that's right. And I said, I want to think of something clever. I don't want this to be your basic thing. And then it's taken me 3 months to think of something clever.
Yep, right.
And I still have it.
Right.
Wow.
So hopefully
epic,
our listeners.
Epic fail.
Epic fail. We need to get a noise for that.
I know.
Boom, 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 or something like that, right?
I have no idea.
Anyway, okay, so we're good to have, glad to have you here today talking about all things psychopathic. Just stalling time here to the first commercial break. But a few things that I did want to cover. And the first is the official Aftermath Radio disclaimer. Now, just so you know, a little bit of background. The folks at Aftermath, we wanted to come up with a way of informing the listeners that, you know, we talk about folks, we have folks come on talking about folks who may or may not be psychopathic. And most of the time, there has not been a formal assessment of psychopathy done on these individuals. And we've talked about this before, how that assessment process is very tedious and time-consuming, and that it involves a specific set of guidelines and should only be done by a trained professional. And we understand most people, you know, don't necessarily have that background or those resources. However, we are willing to understand, you know, we understand that folks that spend a lot of time around people who have these traits really do have a good idea. And ultimately, when you're diagnosing a personality disorder of any type, and psychopathy included, you need data. You need lots of information. You need information about the person's life now and when they were a kid and when they were a teenager, and you need to know how they were at school and with their friends and with their family. So, you know, definitely the more data you have, the more valid the assessment. And so recognizing that some people who spend their whole lives around these individuals may actually have a lot of data. However, you know, if they aren't thoroughly trained, we're not saying that these diagnoses are necessarily official, I guess is what, you know, the message we're trying to say. But however, that being said, we have come up with a disclaimer to reflect that, you know, as and this comes from the Aftermath Radio legal department, sort of covering our rear ends, right?
I was like, what is he going to say right there?
And so I'm going to read this right now. And by the way, I was trying to line up Dr. Paul Babiak, but he says he's not up to it today.
Oh.
The man with the golden voice. So we'll get him to do it in the future. Thanks anyway, Paul. You're not off the hook yet. But I'm going to do the disclaimer today. And we're going to spice it up a little bit, right?
Do you want me to go now?
Let's do it.
Let's hope this works.
Okay, so a little bit of background ambiance for the disclaimer.
Cheesy.
No, this is good.
This is what he wanted.
Of course
okay.
He did.
You ready? Okay, here's the Aftermath Radio disclaimer. Though you cannot make a conclusive diagnosis of psychopathy without adequate interview and file information, several of the behaviors reported in this case seem broadly consistent with traits and characteristics commonly associated with psychopathy. None of the comments made here should be interpreted as a formal diagnosis based on an appropriate psychopathy assessment. What do you think? I messed up that one word, but I can edit that.
Oh, goodness.
The point being, we recognize that some folks will call in and talk to us about people in their lives and you know, speak to psychopathic traits. However, we should keep the understanding that these aren't formal diagnoses of psychopathy. Why are you taking my copy?
Sorry, I was distracted by the music.
You think you can do a better job?
No, I was.
You want to try it?
No.
Let's do one with you.
No.
Let's
are
try.
Are you serious?
It. Yeah, with the female voice, it'd be good. Roll the music.
No, really, with the music.
With the music.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Hold on. Let's
here's Gigi Barr giving it a try.
Though you cannot make a conclusive diagnosis of psychopathy without adequate interview and file information, several of the behaviors reported in this case seem broadly consistent with traits and characteristics commonly associated with psychopathy. None of the comments made here should be interpreted as a formal diagnosis based on an appropriate psychopathy assessment.
Lovely.
That wasn't bad. And the phone's ringing.
In all seriousness, I think that we should repeat that disclaimer every once in a while.
Well, we're going to record it for real.
I think we're going to get
you can answer the phone if you want. Yeah. I'll keep it covered.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll keep talking. No, we'll get it recorded for real because it's very important that we put that information out because we need to be responsible.
Yeah.
Oh, I think actually Paul just called in.
No, he didn't.
I think he did.
Did he really? Because he felt bad.
Well, we kind of. I think he heard Gigi's really abysmal performance and thought he could do better. Does he want to come on the air?
Yes.
Is he there? Paul, are you there?
Hold on. Let me get it on.
All right.
Let's try that.
Paul, are you there?
I am.
Oh, my gosh. So, Dr. Paul Babiak, author of Snakes and Suits, calling in. Was Gigi's performance that bad that you had to come in and show us how it's done?
You are kidding, right?
Now, just to be fair, I contacted Paul about 20 minutes before the show went on and asked if he could come on the air and read this disclaimer. And by the way, Paul, how are you doing? How was your holiday?
I'm doing fine. Oh, it was a wonderful holiday. Thanksgiving is just a great, great time to get together with family and give thanks for everything you have, you know, count your blessings.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful time in our country, and I guess other countries celebrate it as well. It's just beautiful.
Did you get some good Thanksgiving weather in your neck of the woods?
Surprisingly so. It has been so mild in New York. The good news is that some of the plants are actually trying to come back. The bad news is that I have all these leaves that I really have to get rid of, but I can't blame on frozen snow or anything.
Right.
So, like, I'm stuck. I got to do the leaves.
Well, my son's getting really good at raking leaves. Maybe I'll ship him over there.
Oh, absolutely.
So did you call in to do the disclaimer, or did you just call in to say hi?
Well, I did call in to make an attempt at the disclaimer.
All right, very good.
I'm led to believe there's a prize, like you're going to watch my car or something.
I'll tell you what. You know what? That was a prize from an old contest, but if you give the best performance of the disclaimer, I will wash your car.
Well, there you go. Okay. All right.
And rake his leaves.
Let's rake my leaves.
All right, let's let Paul do it without the music, though.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, Paul.
Although I really did like that that music cover. That was great. So feel free to edit this over.
We might just do that. You might get the Star Wars theme in the background. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, that would be cool.
All right, whenever you're ready.
Okay, Aftermath Radio Disclaimer. Though you cannot make a conclusive diagnosis of psychopathy without adequate interview and file information, several of the behaviors reported in this case seem broadly consistent with traits and characteristics commonly associated with psychopathy. None of the comments made here should be interpreted as a formal diagnosis based on an appropriate psychopathy assessment.
That's Radio Gold Paul right there.
You need to edit that.
All right, sir. We appreciate you calling in. I got to get to a commercial break, though.
Okay. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shugg Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
We are back, Aftermath Radio. Dr. Robert Shugg, Assistant Professor of Criminal Justice and Forensic Psychology here at Long Beach State. If you'd like to speak with us, please call us at area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio or email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. We have on the line Sally.
Yep, I'm here.
Sally's there. And Sally, we apologize for the whole busy signal thing.
Oh, no problem.
Dr. Babiak. You know, sometimes he talks.
Yeah. Quite the disclaimer, I guess.
But we got him for free, so we can't complain about that. So Sally has been on the show numerous times, mm-hmm. and actually, I got a hold of you not too long ago, right?
Right,
and
yeah.
begging you to come on the show, but you've had some positive developments in your case,
right.
And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what's going on. Maybe just briefly summarize what's happened to you so far, and. What do you say?
Okay, yeah. Well, kind of in a nutshell, we've talked about this many times before, but basically I was in a 13-year relationship, which was a marriage, with a person who had many of the psychopathic traits. Again, no formal diagnosis, mostly because he wouldn't submit to one. And so we've just been in court. The most recent battle has been ongoing for the last 3 years since I... you know, decided to end the relationship 3 years ago. And we've just kind of been in and out of court ever since with just crazy little battles. You know, he would come back for a little bit more, just, you know, kind of ongoing abuse and harassment. So, yes, we did reach a settlement recently, which I'm not able to discuss the particulars of the settlement right at this time, but just it's all in all through the bad been a really kind of positive experience, and I've learned a lot. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. I took the lemons and made the lemonade, I guess.
Exactly. Well, congratulations on that. And so how does it feel now?
Well, it feels good, and here's why. Like I said, it didn't feel good all the time, all the way through. There was a lot of, heartbreak and emotion in the beginning, and it was really hard. I was being, all through the marriage there was abuse and manipulation, but I didn't understand what was happening. And as time went on, and once I was removed from the situation, I was really given the gift of piecing the puzzle together, and it opened my eyes. I've been speaking out. I figured it out. I maintained my composure through all of the court issues, and the understanding of this was what allowed me to do that. So I do have a restraining order against him. That all was a result of some of the harassment that went on throughout the court battles that, as time went on with that. And as a result, the agency that actually helped get the restraining order asked me to speak for Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Oh.
So I did some of that. Through those engagements, I'm now working on presentations with various police departments and police agencies to educate officers on domestic violence and some of these issues that arise with people who have these traits as a result. I'm hoping to go to law school.
Excellent.
Yep, as a result of what I've learned and just my new drive and my new ambition to kind of work in this area. So, yeah, I really took a bad situation where I was completely confused and didn't know what was coming next and initially very sad, and pieced it all together and put it together. And really, I'm just trying to make the good out of the bad.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And then spreading the word to others and maybe impacting the lives of others in a positive way. So, Sally, I'm just sort of listening to you talk and thinking of things maybe to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Just in terms of the process that, that you went through, off the top of your head, how many, and just to help listeners understand how difficult it can be to get away from individuals with psychopathic traits.
Right.
How many times would you say you actually went to court?
Many. Usually statuses, you're statusing from what they set from time to time. It comes out to be about once a month. So depending on how many times or for how long you're in court and for what, it's not an overnight process. However, I will say that works in your favor, because as time goes by, a lot of times people with these traits are very good at looking amazing. They look very charming initially. That's what attracts you to them in the first place. So they look good. Like to the naked eye or just an initial contact, they seem wonderful. They have a hard time sustaining that, they're so victimized. Like in my situation, he told me, that I turned the kids against him. No, he turned the kids against himself. For example, that was what he went to his lawyer initially with. She's horrible. She's doing this to me. She's turning the kids against me, etc. Well, as time played out, every player, every piece of the equation saw what was really happening. So it takes forever. You're in court constantly, at least once a month, but that actually plays in your favor.
And did you originally hire an attorney when things started to go bad?
When are you talking about? Initially with the divorce or when he came back for more? You mentioned that it was very hard to leave them. It is very hard to leave them.
Well, let me ask.
Unless it's under their terms and on their terms and they're set and ready to go, they get angry that you're leaving. So he, in my case, I'm relatively certain, I interpret this correctly, he wanted to come back to harm me for more. And I kind of have spoke on that in the past. He basically told me, I'm coming to get you. I'm coming to destroy you. I'm going to break you and your daddy, too. And I think he said, I'm going to put you through so much that you will eventually kill yourself.
Yeah,
so,
you mentioned that before.
It is hard to break free.
Now, just let me ask it a different way.
Sure.
At what point did you get a lawyer or an attorney involved in your case?
Yeah, that's right. I kind of got off on that. Initially, when I filed for divorce, I got an attorney immediately. So an attorney handled the divorce. Now, when he came back for more, he was trying to scare me, give me the name of your attorney. I'm going to file paperwork against you. And I said, well, I'm not going to give you the name of my attorney. if you file paperwork against me, I'll respond. And that's it. And that was actually probably too much at the time. I was still trying to talk to him and didn't realize what I was working with yet. And, you know, didn't realize that you just have to go no contact and let him file and then have your attorney respond. But immediately, I did get representation immediately.
How well versed was your attorney in psychopathy and what it is and how it could affect the progress of your case?
Unfortunately, most attorneys are not well-versed in psychopathy. However, that being said, they don't necessarily know the word for it. However, that being said, his words to me after reading some of the back and forth that had gone on in, via email or just hearing some of my stories were, you have to pretend that you're dealing, and this is a quote from my lawyer, that you're dealing with a mentally retarded 3-year-old. He said that you're really just not dealing with someone who is able to get the big picture, and they're not very mature about it, was what he meant by that.
Right.
And so I think that there's a better understanding than most people realize on the part of the attorneys. And in my case, in some ways, justice was served, and in other ways, you know, more could have been done, but that comes hand-in-hand with a settlement versus a full trial. But I think they're starting to piece it together more and more. And in our particular case, our guardian ad litem, who is the representation for the children, actually picked up on things early on. And was, even if he didn't know the word, he knew the behaviors. So I think that we are starting to see a bit more in the education department.
Right.
I think that's a good thing.
No, I think that guardian ad litem, I think, is a that we could probably talk a whole show about that, and,
right.
and maybe we'll have you on again in the future and talk about that. Just a couple minutes left, though. Kind of wondering, you know, looking back at the whole process, what did you do to take care of yourself during this whole ordeal?
Well, you try to eat right. You try to stay in shape. You try to mentally, you know, I worked, and I also, you know, I have 3 kids. I worked, and I was going to school as well. Which, by the way, I'm graduating with my master's next week.
Congratulations. Wow.
And thank you. And so you just have to keep doing for yourself. Even though from time to time it's difficult, they are not worth your energy. They do not deserve your energy. And that's not to say that I didn't get upset when things would hit the fan from time to time, because I did. It's emotional, and I have feelings, and I wouldn't trade those feelings for anything. But you just need to take care of yourself. And I got a chunk of money for my birthday. A couple $100s,
I wouldn't throw that away.
Yeah, right? I mean, it was a couple $100s, and I could have done anything. I could have paid bills. I could have, you know, whatever. And you know what I did? I signed up for one of those massage things where you go and you get an hour massage once a month. And
nice.
I thought, you know what? I can do that. And it didn't even eat up the whole $300. Like, I'm like, I can do that because it helps me relax and it makes me feel good, and it's not a huge thing.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you have to take care of yourself and your family. Be there, but you have to be good in order to be there for other people. So
pamper yourself, right?
Yeah, and I mean, don't go overboard, but they don't deserve the energy that initially we all give them.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, Sally. Well, as usual, the time goes by quickly, we'll have you on again in the future when you're able maybe to discuss more of the details, because I think it'd be really beneficial for folks to hear about that.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot to learn.
And thanks for coming through for me in such late notice.
No problem.
Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye.
I think that was the first time I've heard someone say something as simple as, and I went and got a massage.
Yeah.
When you've asked them, so how have you coped with it? Yeah,
yeah.
People have always talk about the bigger, you know, issues and how they deal with it. But that was the first time that she, you know, she did something simple for herself, and a couple $100s went a long way in her.
It's the simple, I don't want to say simple pleasures, but just, you know, pampering yourself and in any sort of traumatic experience really goes a long way.
Yeah.
All right. We got to go to a break. Yeah. Oh, she's giving, did you see the thing? What a professional. All right. Aftermath Radio. We'll be right back after this.
My name's Steve Bryson, and we're bringing to you a show called Beg, Borrow, or Steal the Blues Hour. From 8 to 9 Pacific Time, join us each and every Saturday night. That's 8 to 9 Pacific Time. We'll bring you some fine blues music, try to give you a couple little facts you may not know, and I guarantee you we'll bring you some music you've never heard before. Every Saturday night for Beg, Borrow, or Steal the Blues, my name's Steve Bryson.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Back. We're still back, and there he is.
So many buttons.
I know. Too many buttons. We just need one button, right? One button.
On and off.
Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Shug. You can call us at area code 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Skype us at aftermath.radio. Chat with Chant. I'll get that right one of these days, right?
Maybe.
Email us at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. We have on the line Dr. Jill Rickey. Jill, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Excellent.
Hi, Robert.
How are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Let me introduce you and then we'll get into it, okay?
Okay.
Dr. Jill Rickey is a licensed psychologist in Tallahassee, Florida. She's in private practice and specializes in the treatment of victims of violent crime, including domestic violence, sexual violence, and stalking. Her other areas of expertise include post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, and eating disorders. And she's on the board of directors for the Florida Psychological Association and is a volunteer for the Red Cross Mental Health Disaster Services. You're on the board of directors of Aftermath Surviving Psychopathy as well, so we can't leave that out, right? And here she is. And today, Jill, you and I are going to be talking about, actually, this is sort of a part two to what you talked about several weeks ago. Consequences of leaving a psychopath, stalking, lying, manipulation. Are you prepared?
Yes, that is. But before we got into that, I just had a quick comment I wanted to make about, you know, we were talking about the diagnoses and Paul was on. And I think what's really important for people to realize is that the DSM-IV still doesn't recognize psychopathy as a diagnosis.
That's
so
true.
When you're in the legal system, it's going to be antisocial personality disorder. And just because they don't have a psychopathy diagnosis doesn't mean they're not a psychopath. So people that are involved in these relationships need to not, like, worry about it. And they need to, you know, because a lot of the people that I've talked with that have been listening to podcasts and have been going on the forum, they get validated just by knowing that the behaviors that their partner exhibits is consistent with a psychopath. So the diagnosis is important for some of us mental health professionals, but for a lot of the people involved with them, it's really not that big of a deal. So I just wanted to say that.
That's a fantastic point. Fantastic point. Great. Okay, so then jumping into it, what makes it so hard to leave a psychopath?
Well, there are many reasons that it's hard to leave, and I guess the most significant one is that, first of all, when you're involved with a psychopath, you don't trust your judgment. Lived in this abusive relationship for so long, the abuse has almost become normal and what you expect. So you don't even perceive it as abuse. You've been brainwashed into believing that you're worthless, stupid, ugly, lucky that they let you stay with them, and usually have pretty low self-esteem. That's the first reason. And then I guess the second most significant reason is it's hard to leave because you have been so isolated for so long that you probably have not shared with many people degree of abuse that you have been living with, and you're afraid that no one will believe you, so you keep it a secret, and you've pretty much pretended that everything was fine, so then when you try to tell people, they're like, well, you never told me, so it's difficult for people to believe that it can be as bad as it truly is.
Okay, and now if I'm a survivor then, if I go back to the psychopath, what should I expect?
Well, unfortunately, I guess you probably will go back because it's very difficult to leave. And when you do leave, you think you're ready to leave, but most of the time you're not ready to leave. And so you leave and you have your trepidation and doubts, but you'll go back if you fall for the lies that they say that, oh, I'll change, things will be different, or I love you so much, I can't live without you. So they say those things to you, and you want to believe them because a part of you probably still loves them. And then they will manipulate you into believing that all of the things that were wrong with them that you point out, they say that they will say. And so they'll say whatever they think you want to hear. And then once you're kind of back under their spell, I guess is what I call it, the cruel, callous abuse returns. And sometimes it's even worse, which is really awful. And then they will call you names and humiliate you for not being strong enough to leave and be on your own. And so that makes it harder to leave the next time. So It was like they make fun of you for, see, you tried to leave me, and ha, 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 you couldn't do it. You came back anyway.
Mm.
So it's kind of like you come back with your tail between your legs.
Wow, yeah. And then, so at that point, how will the psychopath manipulate me?
Well, and then, like, once you've come back, or it's like they'll promise you everything that you wanted to hear. They'll lie. They will lie about how they'll change. And that's what the key issue is. What they're saying is not true. You have to believe that everything they are saying is self-serving, that it's not going to be about really what you want, but they're going to say what you want to hear. So how they'll change, how they'll spend more time with you, and how they'll be kinder to you. You know, that's what they'll always say. And they might even get your family and friends involved if your family and friends aren't aware of how abusive your partner was. So if your family and friends, if you've never told them, which most people don't because they're so ashamed, then the family and friends are like, come on, why are you leaving him? He loves you so much, or she, it doesn't matter. But that's what happens. And then it feels like everyone is against you. And so then you're alone again. And I guess another form of manipulation will be threats that you'll never see your children if you have children together. Mm. You'll never get any money from me. That they might kill themselves if you leave. I mean, that happens a lot. The classic, that they, well, I'll just kill myself. And then most people feel very, you know, obligated to the person they're with, and they feel bad when actually the psychopath, the narcissist, has no intention of ever killing themselves. But they can use that as a threat, and most people are manipulated by it.
And then, Jill, I mean, you've had experience with tons of these cases. How many folks, just off the top of your head, do you think kind of get stuck right here at this point?
I'd say about half of them do.
Wow.
Half of them do, and then if they stay in therapy, then they realize, okay, this is form manipulation, and they move on. But some of them stop coming to therapy because that's kind of the person has figured out that their therapist has encouraged them to leave, or they blame me. You know, they have to blame somebody.
Sure, sure.
And so they say, well, you can't go back and see them anymore. So that happens. So I'll get a call saying, can't see you anymore, and I'm like, okay, you have to do what you have to do, but I'm still here. If you change your mind, you know, it's fine to come back.
Right.
But wait, one more thing is they also like might clean out the bank account and savings account so you don't have access to money. And the newest thing is they start posting like horrible things about you on social network pages, like,
oh my
Facebook.
Gosh.
In an effort to humiliate you. And they do that because people have access to Facebook now. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. And they say these horrible things, and then people are so ashamed and humiliated, they just go back to them.
Wow. That's incredible. So even Facebook becomes a form of manipulation.
Yes.
So as the survivor, then, who else should I tell that I'm leaving? Who else should I let in on it?
Well, by telling people, it will make you, the victim, more accountable. Because if you tell people you're leaving, you're more likely to follow through with that. And then if you follow through with that, you feel more empowered. And so the more empowered you feel, the easier it is to say, okay, I did the right thing. My friends are supporting me. But you need to make sure the people you tell you can trust and that they are aware of how cruel and manipulative your partner is. And that they also might get manipulated, too, because everybody can be manipulated by a psychopath.
Sure, sure.
And the hardest thing is that you've got to, I tell, like, people I work with, is let go of the shame and embarrassment that you might feel after describing why you're leaving. Because they're so ashamed that, like, oh, I stayed with this person for so long after you did all this. I'm like, don't worry about it. Just be happy that you're finally getting out to save yourself and your sanity.
It sounds like it's almost sort of a snowball effect where you kind of have to get the ball rolling and then it rewards itself and reinforces itself and empowers the person more.
Yes, it is. But you have to be careful like who you tell, because sometimes you have mutual friends and, you know, that can be, if they don't believe you, that can backfire.
Right. So speaking of mutual friends then, okay, when I leave, I'm afraid that I'll lose all of our mutual friends. Will they believe me if I tell them the real reason I'm leaving?
Well, what I tell them is you might lose your friends, but you can make new friends. It doesn't matter. But just to be cautious, like I just mentioned, about telling any mutual friends, because there is a chance that your partner has already told them that you are unstable and that you're crazy. And so if the psychopath has already warned your friends that you're crazy and this is what she might say, then when you go and you tell them what, then they go, oh, yeah, he was right. She's crazy. She's a nutbag. Because she said exactly what he said. She would say, well, he said it because that's what he does.
Right.
So it was true. And the other thing is, if the partner, the psychopath, is perceived as a powerful person, like in the community, like as a CFO, has a high-powered job, the people in the community will probably not believe the victim. They're going to side with the psychopath. And I guess especially if the partner is active in an organized religion, like the congregation will probably support the psychopath because if it's a man and the woman is the victim is leaving, so they say that, okay, you're leaving him, so it's your fault. You're not supposed to leave your husband. And what I try to tell people I work with, because I'm kind of in the Bible Belt, so I have a lot of the religious issues going on down here in the South, is I say, look, find your own religious group. You don't have to stay with the one that you're with. You can find another one that can be your friend. Because what happens is you lose your whole religious congregation that was your family's support.
Your support, right. Okay, we got about maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Let me just ask you this. When my partner does not get his way, he reacts with rage and abuse. I'm tired of walking on eggshells. How do I deal with that?
Well, if you're still in the relationship, for example, if you're not divorced yet, you need to remove yourself from the situation and do not engage. Do not engage. Do not talk to them. Kind of like Sally was saying, just stop talking to them. You can't reason with them. And even if it's like via text message, don't respond to the text. If they continue texting you over and over in a period of hours, print them out. Save them as evidence. Learn how to not defend yourself and respond to those statements that they say, like they're accusing you of something. Say one word response is like, I see. So you're not, that's nice. So you're not giving them anything that they can come back at you. Mm-hmm. So that's like a really key, is you have to prevent them to continue ranting and raving. So you have to not engage in their game, because that's what it is. It's a game.
Right.
And if you still are in the same household and you can't leave, then call 911.
Wow. Okay. Well, then, Jill, can you hang on for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Aftermath Radio, we'll be right back after this.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I'm a psychopath.
Hi, Bob!
Bob!
Do you know what a psychopath is? Do you have one in your life? How would you know? Join Dr. Robert Shug Mondays at 4 p.m. for Aftermath Radio and get the facts about psychopathy.
Aftermath Radio.
Aftermath Radio.
That was professional, right? We're back. Aftermath Radio, Dr. Robert Shug. We have on the line Dr. Jill Rickey, licensed psychologist from Tallahassee, Florida, talking about consequences of leaving a psychopath, stalking, lying, manipulation, and being prepared for that. And so far, Jill's talked about, you know, what's making it so hard to leave, what should you expect if you go back to the psychopath, forms of manipulation, and, you know, these sorts of – actually, it's a really fascinating topic. Very, very practical advice you're giving, Jill. Yeah, and I think people can definitely sort of use this in their own situation. So we left off talking about reacting to rage and abuse. And so if a survivor is afraid of the rages and the ranting and the verbal abuse, how should they deal with that?
Well, that's so difficult because you listen to them and you believe them and you end up kind of believing that what they're saying is true. And I try to help people to ignore it. Got to just ignore it and just look at it as don't let the words penetrate. Like, think of it as you're wearing a suit of armor and the words are just bouncing off of you. But to document it. The key is document, document, document. If it's emails, text messages, voicemails, you know, just document it all, because that's the only way, because you're not going to remember it. When you're in that situation, you forget stuff. And then later it comes back, oh, yeah, he did that, he did that. But if you have emails or you have text messages or voicemails that are within, like a one-day, 24-hour period, and they're every, like, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they go from raging and, oh, I love you, I miss you. And if you print those out, you have evidence, and that's what you have to look at it, is you need to expect them to go crazy, and you need to kind of not want them to, but they kind of like kill themselves, like Sally was saying. They can't keep it together. They lose it eventually. And you have to just, like, not pay attention to the words and just document whatever you can as evidence to use when you do finally get to court or when you're getting a police report or you're trying to get a restraining order.
It's almost like if you give them enough rope, they hang themselves, that sort of thing.
Eventually.
Right.
But the other thing is that you have to demand that the police file a police report that is harassment, because there are some law enforcement officers, I mean, in the South that I've worked with, like, oh, well, he hasn't threatened to kill you. Okay, so what? But look at how many times he's called me in 5 hours and what he said and the content of his messages. Even though it's harassment, it's still enough that it can get you a restraining order. So, but there are law enforcement officers that ignore it and say it's no big deal.
I just can't even believe that.
No, it's sick. It's very sad.
Yeah. So then, Jill, you know, in terms of the stalking, the question of will he stalk me and what should I do, how would you answer that?
Well, and it's not just a he. It can also be a she. You know, I always like to forget that we always use he just because more typically that they might be men and the woman is the victim. But it can be like, it can be both. It can be either a male or a female. But what you should do is your partner will stalk you. Yes, I think they will stalk you in an effort to intimidate you into doing what they want you to do. And this would be a demand to know what you're doing, where you are, who you're with, and who you're talking to. So, and typically when you're in a relationship, if somebody, a normal relationship, somebody says, well, what are you doing? You respond. But when you're with a psychopath, you can't respond to their statements because they're just going to use it against you. They're going to react to the rejection because you're leaving them with rage, and then they're going to seek revenge. And the stalking behaviors are part of the revenge. They're trying to make your life miserable. You need to tell them to leave me alone, and that if you contact me again, then you go to law enforcement. Because I know in the state of Florida, if you tell your stalker, leave me alone, if you contact me again, via voicemail, text, email, whatever, anyway, I will go to law enforcement, and they contact you, and you've told them that, then you can get a restraining order. A judge will grant that. That's in Florida. I don't know any other state, but people need to know that, and law enforcement doesn't always know this. And so I just encourage people to just read the laws, find out what's going on.
Right.
And because the other thing is, if you have a restraining order, the difference is, like, they're harassing you. Harassment is a misdemeanor. If you have a restraining order, that's a felony if they violate it. A felony, third-degree felony, will get you in jail, where a misdemeanor, you're just paying a fine.
Right.
And what a lot of people, I've heard people say, well, I don't want to get a restraining order because that'll make him worse. And I'm like, no, it's not going to make him worse. It's going to protect you. He's going to come after you no matter what, because the psychopath doesn't care about the law. They're going to do whatever they need to do. But we forget when we're involved with them that we do the right thing. We want to assume that our partner will do the right thing, but the psychopath won't.
Right. So we need to learn the rules and what the law...
What the laws are in our state,
right,
to help protect us. And if the law enforcement agency you go to doesn't believe you, you print out this law, you get a victim advocate involved, and you say, look, these are my rights, and this is what's happening to me.
Right. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, in the end, the law will prevail. I think sometimes it's not as efficient as we would hope, and sometimes it takes more work, but in the end, if you're playing by the rules, I think the psychopath is defeated in the end.
I hope so, and I'd like to think that.
Maybe I'm being Pollyannish, I don't know. Anyway, so then what is cyber stalking?
Okay, now cyber stalking is the new way of stalking. It's kind of the use of technology to control, to encourage social isolation and to create dependency. They bully you into not leaving, and they harass you, intimidate you. And this is like through, like I said, technology, through emails, through text messages, voicemail messages, Facebook. I mean, that's like, that is the newest thing. I tell people, just get off of Facebook. You don't need it. Your friends can call you. You don't need Facebook. Because what happens with Facebook, and I'm not a big user of it, I've got teenagers, but I do understand a little bit, is that you can go on, even though you block somebody, you can get on through your friend if you have mutual friends and find out what's happening. So then people will post something as if they're somebody else that isn't even true.
Okay.
So it's just really horrible.
Right.
But the good thing about it, the good thing about technology is that it can be used as evidence. You can save it, you can print it, you can store it in a file, and they don't go away easily, where before we had, you know, technology the way it is, it was just your word against his word.
Right.
So that's the one good thing about the cyber stalking. At least we have record and evidence of it.
That's right. Once it's on the internet, it's there forever.
Yep. Right, right.
Okay, so a couple minutes left. What if the police don't believe me? What do I do?
Well, like I said, most law enforcement agencies now have victim advocates. They have victim advocate programs. That's a person that is dedicated to the victim. Find a victim advocate, talk to someone, maybe at the domestic violence shelter in your area, and get them to help you. Because most of the domestic violence shelters have a day that they go to court, and they will help you get a restraining order, and it's free. You don't even need a lawyer. Hmm. They have their advocates. So I would get involved with that agency if you can, the DV, domestic violence shelter.
Okay, and if my lawyer, my minister, or my therapist doesn't believe me, what do I do then?
And that's really scary because these are the professionals you've hired or you're hoping would be there. What you have to do is you have to be the proactive person, and you can't assume that they understand psychopathy because they probably don't, because they've probably been manipulated by your partner. So you educate them about psychopathy, maybe send them to the Aftermath website, bring in printed text messages, emails that start out really nice, and then they end up being like raging, like, I'm going to kill you, I hate you. And I tell people, save voicemails and play them for the professional, because when you finally get the professional, maybe they've even met with a partner and they got duped by him, when they start seeing all this and they're like, oh wow, this is like falling into place, hopefully they'll believe you. And if all else fails, find new support and new legal help, because like Sally was saying, a lot of lawyers don't get it. I would say most of them do not, and they kind of want to play it easy, like, oh, he'll go away, he'll go away, but they don't get that the psychopath won't go away.
Right.
But I'm glad it worked out for Sally that did happen. So.
Right. Okay, about a minute left, then. How do I convince the professionals that I'm working with that I'm credible and I'm not crazy?
Well, just kind of like I said, the same thing, the same answers before. Give them information, bring in the evidence, send them to the Aftermath website, and if they start reading stuff and realizing that what she's saying, describing her partner, is exactly what they're describing as psychopathic traits, hopefully that will work. And like, if it doesn't, then, you know, find a new professional to work with. But in conclusion, I know we have to go, is when you're trying to leave the psychopath, the most important thing is that you have somebody that is on your side, that believes you, that you can totally trust, and that you feel is not judging you.
Right. That's great advice, Jill. Very practical, usable advice. We certainly appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're about out of time then. We really appreciate you coming on.
It was great to be here.
And we'll have you on again in the future.
Okay, thanks, Robert.
All right, have a good night. All right. Bye-bye. That was Dr. Jill Rickey, licensed psychologist from Tallahassee, Florida. Okay, so we got, what do we got left? Where are we at?
About 2 minutes.
2 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, so I reminded you to tell me something.
About next week's show.
Next week, thank you. So next week, I've got another one of them departmental faculty meetings, so...
You secretly like them.
Yes.
I don't know who's listening, but if anyone from my department's listening, I love them. Like, I heart them.
I heart them.
But just between you and me and the millions of people listening right now, not so much. So next week, you'll be getting a repeat. You'll be getting some Aftermath Radio Gold. From the archives. Any requests, you two?
Hmm.
I was going to say last week's, but you did say that you already posted that one.
Maybe,
so.
I don't know. Whatever it is, we have to bring it back so that Dominic will play it.
Okay.
So we just remember to do that. And then, hey, you know, after the week after that, on December 12th, it's our season finale.
Or
actually,
it'll be
more
of
our semester finale.
Yeah.
What was that, G? What'd you say?
Wheel of Controversy.
We have the Wheel of Controversy. We have Dr. Dave Cossin, Leanne Liedman, Paul Babiak coming on for that. So
okay.
that's always fun.
Yes.
And especially the holiday version, I think, has a special, what's the word I'm looking for? Is it je ne sais quoi, or am I using that wrong? I hate using fancy words wrong,
because right.
That's what psychopaths do. But we will be doing the Wheel of Controversy on December 12th, and we encourage you all to phone in on that, because we've got all the experts on, and it's usually a good time. If you want to reach us in the interim for the next 2 weeks, you can call us at 562-912-3541. That's 562-912-3541. Leave us a voicemail. We're happy to play those on the air. Skype us at aftermath.radio or send us an email at aftermathradio@kbeach.com. And as always, you can check out the podcast, including the one from last week, November 21st, which is up on the website now at aftermathradio.org. Link in the lower left-hand corner. I think that's about all I have. Ladies, anything else on your end?
No. Till 2 weeks.
Yeah,
till
the 12th.
Yeah. Final
week.
That's right. It's going to be the night of your final exam, G. How do you feel about that? Are you going to purposely sabotage the show?
I should. No, I would never do that. Unless if I ace the show, I should get an A in the class.
Oh, but listen to that. I didn't know you were even graded for the show. But I'll think about that.
No, I'm saying if I do good on the show.
Oh, I see. That should contribute to your grade.
Yeah.
I don't think about it. I don't know if that's necessarily ethical, but I'm not totally opposed to that.
Okay.
All right, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks. Aftermath Radio, Okay Beach.
You've been listening to Aftermath Radio, production of the K-Beach radio station at California State University, Long Beach. Produced in association with AftermathSurvivingPsychopathy.org. Your host has been Dr. Robert Shug. Your producers have been Brian Frederick, Chantel Fahmy, and Gurjeet Brar. Join us next Monday at 4 p.m. for another exciting episode. If you or someone you know has been victimized and you'd like to talk to someone, call the Cal State Long Beach Counseling and Psychological Services number at 562-985-4001.